What's going on, Fantasy World?
Welcome in.
I'm Ed. We have our co-host, Buddy Mike. What you drinking on over there, Mike?
I went out and brought us another beer hug.
We got a beer hug.
Another beer hug. Dude, it was so good last week. I don't drink, so yeah. this is my drink time. So yeah,
there you go. Dude, I got to say, I love the can of this. It's a blue bear with neon pink sunglasses.
I don't even honestly know where I got this from. I think it was from Walmart.
Yeah.
Right before we went to the Notre Dame game.
Yeah, it's a Goose Island beer.
Loaded it up in the cooler. We never got to it. We had a lot more of their stuff in there.
Yeah, we won't go there. But speaking of which, I'm actually taking the family to go Notre Dame this weekend against Wake Forest. It's Notre Dame's last home game, so second to last game of the season. And, you know, as a Notre Dame fan, being from South Bend myself, I have grown to know what this moment feels like time and time again. But I am going to tell you that next year, I do have a little more hope than I have had in previous years because of the 12-team playoff. And, you know, hopefully the NCAA somehow eliminates Michigan completely from college football, but we won't go there. So, week 11.
Speaking of coaching problems, the Bills just fired their offensive coordinator today.
They did.
And I don't think it's his fault that Josh Allen has thrown, 13 interceptions this year? You can't put that on the offensive coordinator. It's Josh Allen. I said this last week. I've said it before. He's just not that great. He's good until he's not good. And right now his arm's a little banged up, if you want to call it that, his shoulder. Yeah. And it showed bad on Monday night.
Yeah, Josh Allen is not having the year that
from fantasy standpoint.
But here's the thing. I mean, from a fantasy perspective,
He's actually not that bad.
He's the number one overall fantasy producer for the season. But
from an NFL standpoint,
Closing games, they're not. I mean, right now in their division, they're not even leading their division.
They got beat by the Dolphins beat them. They got beat by the Jets already.
Right. So the Bills are two games behind the Dolphins right now. And in the AFC East. And, you know, when you look at the playoff race, right now they're fighting for a wild card at best. I mean, they're ranked 10th.
They're 5-5. They're 500.
Exactly. The Colts have a better playoff seeding than them. And oh, by the way, we were 1 week removed from the entire AFC North being in playoff position. That is no longer the case. The Houston Texans have slipped into the number 7 spot. Speaking of which, CJ Stroud. Wow.
Get on that train.
I've been on that train,
until
baby.
It crashes.
Hey, you know what? Right now, they're talking like he's MVP caliber talent right now. He's playing out of his
definitely
mind.
Rookie
dude.
Of the year, most likely. I don't see another rookie. Nacua fizzled out. Richardson got injured. Like, there's not really another rookie. I was listening to some. They were saying that there's two quarterbacks that are really playing at a rookie of the year caliber. And I laughed because one was Will Levis. And I'm like, he's had like one or two
games.
He's
had one decent game.
Stop it, people.
Outside of Will Levis, you know, what other rookie quarterback is doing anything?
Yeah.
I mean, Bryce Young isn't what the Panthers drafted him.
Bryce
to be.
Young is like
far from it.
Out of the top 10 in rookie talent right now.
Yeah, far from. That's so bad. Rookie quarterbacks. I don't know if there's 10 rookie quarterbacks, but yeah, I mean,
total rookie.
Yeah, exactly. There's when it comes to rookie of the year, I think CJ Stroud probably is undoubtedly the winner in this. You could make a case for a Jahmyr Gibbs if he continues the pace that he's been on.
Now, I think Bijan could get there if Arthur Smith actually ran the ball with him. They actually did 22 times this past week.
They did.
So, I mean, maybe that's the start of something new.
I mean, but just ranking, because of course, usually quarterbacks or a producer like that caliber gets that offensive rookie of the year. Addison's having a great year.
Yeah.
But CJ Stroud, I think, is the front runner, but he's also probably the front runner and overall MVP candidate. And it has shown in last week's win against the Bengals. I mean, they knocked off the Bengals in an upset that I did call, but keep on that hype train. This is something that you got to believe until you're proven otherwise. I would start Tank Dell. Noah Brown could be in that conversation. Singletary is becoming a threat right now in the backfield with Damian Pierce out injured the last couple games. Kyler Murray came back.
Yeah.
And he came back in true form. He used his legs.
He did.
He gave the offense the boost they needed.
He got a touchdown with his legs, yeah.
It didn't show in his overall production in terms, because he had zero passing touchdowns, one interception.
Yeah, he's just not in line and on.
But it was his first game back.
With his wide receivers.
First game back.
He's got to get in rhythm with Marquise Brown.
He pulled the W out, and he is interviewing right now for two jobs.
Yeah.
He's interviewing for the job for the Cardinals and other teams.
Cardinals I don't want him.
Well, and if he doesn't want him, if they don't want him, he's interviewing for other teams right now. And so it was very promising to see him run. I think he ran for like 33 yards or something. So to see him get back to true Kyler form was great. And when we look at next year, you have a team like, for example, the Bears. The Bears are looking at two top five draft picks potentially. Yeah. You know, they gave up that number one draft pick to the Panthers in exchange for their number one draft pick in the first round for 2024.
Well, smart, because they're basically not going to lose anything out of that.
The haul they got for this pick, DJ, I'm not going to name it all, but number it's one, incredible.
Number two. Man.
So they could have the number one overall pick. Then they can have a top five pick based on how they're performing so far this year. And then they get, I think it's like a 2025 first round or something crazy. I mean, the list is enough for you to start thinking that the Bears are looking forward and not necessarily stuck in what they're looking at today. And you start to question people like Justin Fields. I mean, we could potentially see a movement from either a Kyler or a Justin Fields this offseason.
Very true.
And it's going to shake up a ton. And there's a lot of teams in the NFL that need a quarterback.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, the Vikings are not one of them.
No, they're really not right now.
I mean, Josh Dobbs is proving to be the guy that you need for a team. I mean, he's undefeated right now as a Viking. So, hey, stay in the flames with that. Deshaun Watson pulled off the upset. Kind of looked like his old self. I mean,
he did. He actually ran a little bit better.
He did.
He threw the ball a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah. So listen, Deshaun Watson, someone that could be rising to the top, and with as well as that Browns defense is doing right now, the Browns defense is ranked second in the NFL overall right now.
And I said it last week, I think, and I'll say it again, because of that defense and because of how they play and they're a run first team, go try to get Jerome Ford. He produces. He just had over 100 yard game, and it was a low scoring game.
Yeah.
He still produced.
Yep. Yep.
And so he has not been getting the inside the five rushes that's been going to Kareem Hunt, but it's a matter of time before they just leave him in there and let him run.
Yeah.
And he's been breaking long runs, chunk yardage, game in and game out. So Jerome Ford, he's got a good schedule. Not great, but it's a good schedule. And defensive wise, they're going to put the ball in the running back's hands.
Yeah, I mean, the schedule coming up is, you know, it's not the easiest. I will say they have the Steelers this week. They have the Broncos the week after. I think
the Broncos are still, I mean, technically they're the worst against the run, but they haven't shown it very much.
Yeah, well, when you look at the last couple weeks, they've shown up, man.
Yeah.
And then, because again, like we talked about last week, this is a trend. I mean, don't get lost in what happened the first few weeks of the season. Teams are building their identity, and right now, you got to believe Sean Payton's pulling some kind of feather out of his hat to make this kind of magic happen. And if they're going to win any games this year, why wouldn't they beat the Chiefs? Why wouldn't they beat the Bills?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if they're going to win any games this year, why wouldn't that happen? So don't count the Broncos out. Then they got the Rams after that, which, okay, that's probably going to be their easiest matchup from a defensive standpoint. But then after that, they got the Jags, the Bears, the Texans, the Jets, and the Bengals. I mean, pretty decent defenses.
Yeah. I mean, Bears are giving up less yards per rush on the ground right now. And I was kind of not wanting to take a bet and talking to a buddy about not taking a bet after the fact because he didn't ask me beforehand. But I was like, yeah, why would you do that? Well, it's the Bears. I'm like, yeah, but they're giving up the least amount, and then the team you're betting with is rushing less.
Exactly.
So if they're giving up less on the ground per rush and you're rushing less attempts, that doesn't spell that you're going to get 60 yards, dude.
Right. Anyway. Now, as we talk about trends, you got to also look at a team like a Rams, where we're in week 11. They're going to be getting Kyren Williams back next week, potentially. I mean, he's eligible to come off of IR in week 12. And the timeline right now looks like that's going to happen. Looks like Kyren's going to be available for week 12. But the bigger question is what are you doing with Cooper Kupp? I mean, he hasn't been performing. Obviously, it shows when Matt Stafford's not in, right? Yeah. When Matt Stafford doesn't play, you know Cooper Kupp's going to be impacted. But with Kyren Williams back into the mix, and because, of course, he's taken over the backfield, right? I mean, when you look at Yahoo and you look at Kyren Williams' notes, I here's my opinion. I think this was a layup from Yahoo because they had mentioned it is yet to be seen if Kyren will be in a committee or take over the RB1 role.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. From who? Royce Freeman?
No, you know, it was Henderson.
Or Henderson.
Yeah, Darrell Henderson.
Come on. So, like, if you need a running back, the deadline for ours is, like, what, the 18th,
19th? 18th or 19th, yeah.
You have probably a few more days to make that happen by the time you're listening to this.
Yeah.
Pounce on the fact that he hasn't played. He's coming off of an injury, which, by the way, wasn't a broken bone. It was, I believe, a strain or something. So it wasn't, you know, serious enough for that to be a concern from his production moving forward. And hit on the fact that Yahoo doesn't even know. The experts don't even know. So why are you expected to know? He's going to be the RB1. Come on. He's going to take over this backfield. Does it happen week 12 or does it happen week 13? That's the question. But this is his backfield to take over. But if you are a Cooper Kupp owner, what are you doing? Are you unloading him?
I sold him.
I know you unloaded him.
Nakua.
But for the rest of the world, I think that's pretty sound advice. I mean, you're getting stuck with the brand name that you're used to. I mean, that is what prevents teams from making that next leap. When you're stuck on a player because of the name and that player is not producing, I get it. It is one of the most difficult fantasy decisions to sit a Cooper Kupp or trade a Cooper Kupp. I understand. But believe what you see. Believe what you're seeing right now with your eyes and not necessarily what you hope to be. I mean, if you want to reach the playoffs, now's the time. Yeah. You have zero time to mess around. Chances are you need to win probably the next, you know, three or four games if you're on the outside looking in.
So the good news is Stafford's expected to start this week. And with that, you're going to kind of know what you got in Cooper Kupp and Nakua. However, depending on your trade deadline, it might be too late. So you're going to have to sell hard the fact that, you know, Stafford's back, Stafford's healthy, he's there. So and then kind of move forward. So this year has just been very interesting.
Yeah.
From all the injuries, IR, off of IR, suspensions, back from suspensions, all this. It's been crazy, well, man.
Even when Matt Stafford was back, I mean, he played week 8, didn't play week 9 because of the injury. They had a bye week 10. They're coming off of their bye, which is going to do great things for Matt Stafford. I mean, of course, anytime you're injured and you're coming off of an injury and you have a bye week in there, but even when Matt Stafford was playing in week 8, Cooper Kupp had 4 fantasy points against the Cowboys. No, I get it. It's the Cowboys. But then the week before that, the Steelers, who are actually on paper the 6th, they give up the 6th most fantasy points to the wide receiver position. Cooper Kupp only put up 5.9 fantasy points.
Yeah.
So
That's when I sold him. I was like, nope.
Yeah. So, you know, and Matt Stafford played that game.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to make the argument that it was the Steelers' defense, but the numbers don't lie. I mean, the Steelers give up the fourth most points to that position. And a Cooper Kupp, I expected to completely carve us. Who did carve us was Puka Nacua, not Cooper Kupp. So,
yeah. Well, you guys, you can stop one, but stopping both of those guys, they're so good route runners.
I know. So, just something to keep an eye on. 49ers came back after the bye. What a game to show up on. Yeah. I mean, week 10 after your bye, Jags have a bye, 49ers have a bye, and 49ers completely stomp the Jags. And here's what I don't understand. How is it that, and I don't know, there's a lot of these sites that you see on these power rankings. The one site I saw blew my mind. It had the Jags at number 3 power ranking, and then the 49ers at number 6. How does that make any sense based on this past week? It doesn't to me. Yeah. I mean, I'm not the expert in these things.
It's about the same people probably doing the CFL rankings. Yeah.
Here's what I love about the 49ers, okay? The 49ers, I think, are being underlooked and underrated.
Are they, though?
Well, they are because they've lost the last couple games.
Like, I talked to so many people, and they're like, oh, they've only lost like one or two games. Like, no, they lost 3 in a row.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I am well, yeah, banging that drum, and people are trying to like, oh, they're okay. They only lost a game or two. No, 3 in a row.
Well, I think the majority of the world is erring more on your side, Mike, is like, what is going on with the 49ers? I think most people are sharing that same sentiment. Here's why I'm going to say to pump the brakes. Because, and I've said this for years, defense wins championships. When you look at the teams that are winning consistently, it's because they have top performing defenses. Yeah. Chase Young, first game in his debut, shared a sack with none other than Joey Bosa. Yes, so he had half a sack and two quarterback hits in that debut. I think this is a telling sign of things to come with that tandem. Chase Young, Joey Bosa. And we see it all the time, just like in the real world. Sometimes a player isn't just is not meant to be in that system. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give you a perfect example, but you get a guy and you put him in an environment that is most comfortable for him, and things shine. Robert Spillane, for example. Perfect example.
Yeah.
Linebacker for the Steelers. Right now, arguably, one of the best defensive players on the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, the guy is insane. He got that interception for the game-sealing pick, and it shut that game down. It happens all the time. Yeah. So don't be surprised if this 49ers defense gets even better. But talking about defenses, Mike, the Colts.
Yes, sir.
The Colts defense right now is someone to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read off some numbers, okay? The Colts are fourth in the NFL. The Colts defense is fourth in the NFL in total interceptions with 11.
Let's go.
They're sixth in the NFL in total sacks with 30.
I ride the horse.
They're second in the NFL with most defensive touchdowns at 3.
For the shoe.
They're sixth in overall fantasy points for a defense.
Giddy up.
They're 11th in fantasy points per game at 8.3.
Big blue.
And overall, they're ranked the number 6 defense in the league.
Let's go.
So that's a trend that has continued to emerge in recent weeks. Keep an eye on the last 3-4 weeks of when that team has played. When you're running your numbers, use that last 4-week aggregate, because anything before that, there have been moves, there's been trades, there's been additions, there's been injuries. It's not the latest up-to-date trends and information.
I'm going to tell you, going off the Colts, we would be even better. And we are slacking in the rushing defense department. Grover Stewart, quit with your PEDs and get back on the field, dude. We need your run-stopping ability.
Well,
gosh,
I was very impressed against the Patriots. I don't know what's going on right now in New England. Thank goodness they have a bye this
week. They're confused. Someone got hit in the head.
Because they need a bye.
They need something.
The Colts and the Patriots are on a bye this week, but Mac Jones benched in the fourth quarter
again
for Bailey Zappi on the game-winning drive.
Man, how does that make you feel if you were the starting quarterback?
Well,
you
know, he told the world how it made him feel.
Yeah.
He, you know, in the interview, you could just see the pain in this guy's eyes.
Dude, this guy's not coming back from that.
No, you can't. How can he come back from this?
Like, there's some people who will take this and eat it for breakfast the next morning, but this dude, I'm sure he still lives with his parents.
Yeah, probably.
He needs some coddling bad.
Now, to Mac Jones' defense, Bailey Zappi ended the game with an interception. So, but this just might be the end, the official end of the Mac Jones era. Keep an eye on that quarterback situation out of New England.
They need a quarterback, and you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if they traded up to get a quarterback.
Yeah. Bye week this week. Next week is the week of Thanksgiving, and then they play against the Giants at the Giants. And if they can't beat the Giants,
get right game for somebody there.
If this
after a bye,
this might be a W if the Giants win. I mean, Bill Belichick is not on the hot seat and won't be this year. You can't. With a legendary coach like that, he will not be on
Kraft
the hot seat.
Kraft was not happy, though.
Oh, of course he wasn't. But you know, just pay attention. Now, the other thing I'm going to mention before we get into some things, the Raiders. The Raiders are, I mean, dude, it's the grit. I mean, this is a team that you don't expect to pull off wins, but it all points to one person. I mean, when you see a team struggle, you can shift blame to the quarterback, and typically the quarterback stands up there and says, listen, this is on me. And then what happens when the coach gets up there? Hey, this is on me, right?
Yeah.
But when you pull the curtains back, it's always on the coach. I mean, every single time, it's always the coach. Well, here's this guy, Antonio Pierce. He's undefeated as a Raiders coach.
Yeah.
And I didn't know who he was, I'm going to admit. I had to do some research on him. So he played in the NFL for the Giants in 2005. He played middle linebacker. He won a Super Bowl in 2007 with them. He was released in 2010, okay? He started his high... So check this out. He started his coaching career as a high school football coach before becoming a linebackers coach for Arizona State in 2018. 2018, he was a linebackers coach for Arizona State, and the year prior, he was a high school coach in 2017. Dude, that is 6 years ago, okay? Now, I get it. He's a Super Bowl-winning linebacker. I understand that. But in 2021, he became the associate head coach for the Arizona State and defensive coordinator slash recruiting coordinator. He was picked up by the Raiders in 2022 as a linebackers coach. As a linebackers coach, for the Raiders, and now he's the interim head coach. I mean, someone like that does not make that big of a leap. It doesn't matter if you played in the NFL or not. I mean, you are handing over a $1 billion football organization to this guy, right? For the time being, of course.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen if you don't have, I mean, the guy has grit. He finds ways to win. The last 2 weeks, Jacobs, he's come out on interviews and said, we are a running team. We're going to run the damn ball. The last 2 weeks, Jacobs had 26 or 27 carries. An insane amount of carries. I'm buying on Jacobs. If you can get Jacobs in a trade right now, that is the identity of this team. And oh, by the way, it doesn't hurt that he came out and said, we're a running team. We're going to run the damn ball. They ran it almost 30 times 2 weeks in a row. And oh, by the way, they won both those games. So
fun fact,
I love
leading the NFL in rushing attempts is none other than Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
But his 186 attempts has only warranted him about 622 yards rushing.
It's been a rough season.
And five touchdowns.
It's been a rough season. So we have to look at the past, you know, I'm going to look at the past 2 weeks, okay? I'm going to look at everything before week eight. So week eight and before, I'm going to throw that out the window for the Raiders. I mean, I'm going to start looking at week 9 and 10. And what happened in week 9 and 10? Well, Davante Adams still did not exist. He had an insane catch in week 10 last week. It was a great catch. I mean, one-handed catch. I get it. He's Davante Adams. But the team is obviously said they're a run-first team. I mean, even Jacoby Myers, who was performing, didn't perform at the levels he was. Michael Mayer just had his first touchdown catch, by the way, Notre Dame, former top tight end in the nation, just had his first touchdown catch. That's a trend. I guarantee you, you're going to see more of that. Why? Because it works. He's a great tight end. He functions similar to Travis Kelce. And oh, by the way, they won.
And maybe the coach might have a better brain.
Yeah.
I mean,
when teams
you see something work,
exactly,
you just do it. This was hilarious. I don't know if anyone if you've caught this in the Bills Broncos game on Monday night.
Yeah.
So the same play that Kincaid and the Bills ran for the Kincaid touchdown.
Yeah.
The Broncos, two series later, ran that exact same play to a T, and the announcers caught it and was like, hey, you know what we're going to do? That looks good. Hey, guys, let's write up that play. Let's just call it like whatever, B-22, right, left, you know, notch right. And all this stuff. I thought it was hilarious.
That's crazy.
If you see something that works,
yeah,
you do it.
Yeah, why not? Why not? And to add to that point, when it works, when you do something and it works successfully and you win the game, guess what? You're probably going to do something similar in the subsequent weeks and in the following weeks. So again, when a team wins and something works, why would they not do that again? Okay, why wouldn't they give Josh Jacobs the ball 25 times a game? Why wouldn't they try to pass it to Michael Mayer more, right? So just things to keep an eye on. But
the last four games, rushing attempt leaders, Barkley, Jacobs, Taylor, Foreman, Williams. Yeah. Javonte type.
Yeah. Foreman, you know, be cautious. But everyone else, I mean, Barkley is in a terrible offense. That's the only thing they probably are able to do. Jonathan Taylor, those splits are migrating more and more JT's way. Zach Moss was pretty much non-existent in week 9. In week 10. So look for the Colts to continue shifting Jonathan Taylor's way. And look for certain defenses to continue to rise. Sack leader so far, just to kind of make a quick note, Myles Garrett and Daniel Hunter for the Vikings. You probably don't know who that is, but he's a linebacker for the Vikings, and he's leading the league in sacks right now with 11, tied with Myles Garrett at 11. And Myles Garrett's being talked about in an MVP candidate fashion right now as well. I don't know the last time a defensive player has won an MVP, but right now the Vikings, they got a stud on their hands. TJ Watt is in third with 10.5 sacks. Mike, week 11 matchups.
Yeah, they're here. They're approaching fast.
I need some wins, dude. I'm in playoff contention in most of my leagues, but man, you need to continue winning. And we're going to try to give you some tips on starting advice and you know, who to look out for, but don't get caught up with the name. Get caught up with the matchup. Get caught up with the recent stats.
And the actual production.
Actual production. Yeah. Don't worry about the starting.
Coulda, woulda, shouldas.
Yeah, exactly. Just
quietly, Ken Walker is ranked 6th in half PPR leagues and over running backs this year to
like
date.
Total fantasy points?
Total fantasy points.
Really?
6th.
That's surprising.
That is. I thought it was a fun fact for you.
That is surprising. Anyway. And, you know, I would be curious, as we are on the fun facts train, I would be curious where Mike Evans ranks in total fantasy points this year.
It's got to be up there.
Has to be up there.
I have him in another league, dude. He's producing.
He's producing, and you know what?
Last 4 weeks in my full point PPR, he's gotten me at 15-plus points.
No one's talking about him. I mean, it's kind of hard to not talk about Mike Evans when he just went for like 170 yards.
Yeah.
And Baker Mayfield is finding him. But right now for the season, Mike Evans is ranked 9th for the season.
And he's doing it with two middle fingers in the air, looking back at the Bucks, going, I'm going to free agency over this offseason because you didn't want to pay me.
And guess what? He is the Bucks organization.
He is.
I mean, he was drafted there.
Yep. He wants to stay there.
The fan base loves him.
Oh, yeah. He's great.
So I made a comment to Mike before we aired about, because my team, I'm stacked at running back. I mean, my running back situation is great, but my wide receivers are, I think they're struggling a little bit, but you know, realistically, I'm not really sitting that bad because I have Mike Evans on my team. I think, honestly, I get caught up with the brand name, right? Because I think of a Diggs, a Tyreek Hill, a CeeDee Lamb as true wide receiver ones. Well, guess what? Mike Evans, according to the numbers, is a wide receiver one.
Yeah.
And I also have a Sutton, which, by the way, we talked about it last week. He showed up in this last game against Buffalo with a touchdown catch. He's quietly having a really good season. His floor is extremely high for a wide receiver. So, you know, I mean, just look at, play the numbers game. Yeah. It's all it is.
So Cowboys at Panthers. We saw what the Cowboys did to the Giants. Oh, now it's the Panthers plus 10.5. Actually, at like halftime, I'm really good this year at halftime bets. And I took the Cowboys right after halftime against the Giants last week, and it was like minus 29.5 or minus 30.5 or something. And I took the under 52.
Did you hit it?
Oh, I hit it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've been doing good with those mid game bets there. But Cowboys at the Panthers, Panthers getting 10.5 points at home. I'm going to have to continue with the Cowboys, but man, I really want to say the Panthers keep it close. I don't think that their defense can stop the Cowboys. And if Pollard does not get it done against the second worst rushing defense,
this is it.
This is his
make
or break, and you're going to my bench, Pollard.
Yeah. I mean, the Carolina gives up the second most points to the running back position in the league. Yep. And here's what I'm going to say is CeeDee Lamb is on an absolute tear.
Yeah. The whole passing attack. Dak has been performing.
This is Dak's best season ever. I've never seen Dak play this good. Dak is out of his mind. They are using CeeDee Lamb in a similar fashion as the 49ers use Debo. I mean, you saw some really? Absolutely. You saw CeeDee Lamb coming on a jet sweep, handing the ball off to him. They're moving him. They're running him different styles of routes. I mean, they're getting more creative, and that's what this Cowboys offense needs. Maybe McCarthy's actually starting to put all of those garage talks
and don't like him
analytics to good use. But Carolina, being as bad of a team as they are, they are the third best or third worst matchup against wide receivers in the league. And it's probably because teams don't need to pass the ball much against them.
Hallelujah. Don't pass the ball.
I mean, this should be a run heavy game. I'm going to take the Cowboys. What is it? Minus
10.5.
Okay. Yeah. So that line didn't change. I'm going to take the Cowboys minus 10.5, but also keep this in mind. If you have the Cowboys defense, you got to start them because they have the most defensive touchdowns so far this year at 4. So, and then
that might get to 5 or 6 this week.
It very well might be. So, you know, definitely got to start that defense.
Raiders at Dolphins. Dolphins at home minus 12.
My guy, A-Chan returns. I've been waiting way too long for this. He hasn't officially returned, but he's set to return from IR. All of these signs point to him being cleared and ready to go. I'm excited about this, especially because Mostert isn't proving to be that running back.
Didn't he get injured this past week?
Mostert?
He get a little limpage?
I think he may have went out of the game, but he came back in.
Okay.
I could be wrong, though. You might want to double check that. But yeah. Achan, this is going to be a really good matchup for him. I mean, the Raiders are the eighth. They gave up the eighth most fantasy points to the running back position. And Achan just has that burst where he could take it to the house on any given play. And I was telling Mike this earlier in the week, is like, he's kind of my lottery pick because he could have been that experiment that worked against the, you know, some pretty awful teams and defensive teams.
Yeah.
Or he could be the real deal. Who knows? He's a track star, but it's just going to be really exciting to see what he does. Depending on your situation, I'm going to be probably starting him this week in my flex. He's my team's flex because I have two other pretty good running backs. But this is going to be a good test for the Dolphins to see how they rebound from that loss against the Chiefs overseas. The Dolphins are coming off of a bye. I mean, this is the week where all of the powerhouse teams come back. I mean, the Chiefs, the Eagles, the Dolphins, and the
Rams were there.
The Rams. So we're gonna see hopefully some nice upticks.
So I mean that's why I'm gonna kind of take the Dolphins minus 12.
And by the way, I did not mention this. Teams on a bye in week 11: Falcons, Colts, Patriots, and Saints.
Yeah.
You're taking the Dolphins.
Taking
in
Dolphins
this?
Minus 12.
Man, I can't.
I think this is when the Raiders crash down to earth. I think that we're going to see the Dolphins start.
Yeah.
They're just going to start terrorizing it a little bit.
They should.
And Dolphins are actually decent against the run. They're not great against the pass. I just don't think Aiden O'Connell is going to, you know, be exceptional. I think they're going to start pushing the ball like they did. If you watched the Raiders game in the beginning, first half, they forced the ball to Adams.
And they did. And I think I'm going to take the Dolphins, and it's going to be because I believe that every player on this Dolphins offense can outrun and outflank these linebackers. Don't get me wrong. I love Max Crosby as much as the next guy. I love Robert Spillane. But when you escape that pocket, you're done. The Raiders are done. You're taking it to the house. And they have Tyreek Hill. They have Waddle. They have Achan. I just don't think this defense can keep up by 12 points. So I'm going to take the 12. And I think this could go over the 48 points. I could see it happening.
I could totally see that happening.
But
honestly, it should. The Dolphins should get 30 points.
Yeah.
And the Raiders should probably get 15.
The last two games, I didn't have the exact numbers, but Jacobs had 26 carries in week 9 and then 27 carries last week. So I expect that trend to continue.
Over the last 4 weeks, though, like I said, he was only second ranked right behind Saquon. Yeah. So we both went Dolphins there.
Yep.
Here's another fun one. Division game, Bears at the Lions.
Yeah.
Lions favored by 9.5. I'm going to continue my trend here, apparently, and I'm going to continue with the Lions' favorite. I'm keep picking these favorites. Lions by 9.5.
Yeah.
I mean, let me just stop the world right now. Amon-Ra St. Brown is good at football. If you think otherwise, I'm not sure what you're watching. That dude can he can do a jet sweep if you really want him to. But that guy can just, he doesn't even have to be fast, even though he is, but the way he's running his routes and the cuts and just making the defenses just guess what the heck he's doing.
Yeah.
And then getting lost in translation and being wide open. Like, you've got to keep an eye on this guy. This guy can catch the ball.
Yeah, he can. And they got a taste of what it could look like once again with David Montgomery in the backfield. Oh. I was a little disappointed. Obviously, David Montgomery had that. He ripped off that 75-yard touchdown run. Okay, he broke one of the house. It was amazing. I get it, but he had 116 yards off of 12 carries. So let's take away that 75-yard touchdown run, and he's left with 50 yards off of 11 carries, and which is still 5 yards per carry. but it just didn't look like it. And it might be just the rust off the first game coming back. What I do know is Jahmyr Gibbs is becoming the player you drafted him to be and hoped him to be. The last, three games for Jahmyr Gibbs, even with Montgomery back last week, he was the lead back. He had 14 carries for 77 yards and two rushing touchdowns. He's the guy that they're using for passing situations in the red zone. Not necessarily goal line work, because goal line work is always going to be money, but in the red zone for packages built around the passing and screen game, Gibbs is the guy. Week 7, 23 fantasy points. Week 8, 27. Week 9, bye. Last week, 24. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs, that's a trend. And if you can target him, he's going to be expensive, but I would stay in the flames with him. In this game in particular, I'm going to take the Lions minus 10.
9.5?
9.5. Oh, that changed. Okay. Dropped. So there's some people picking the Bears, looks like.
So another fun one, only because Kyler Murray's back, but the Cardinals are visiting the Texans. The Texans favored at home by 4 points.
Yeah.
And I think this is an odd game.
Yeah.
I think the Cardinals' defense is better than what they're playing. And I think the Texans' offense is not as good as they've been playing.
See, that's where we disagree.
That's fine.
That's where we disagree.
If had this been at the Cardinals, I would have probably taken the points. But since it's at Texans, I'm leaning towards taking the Texans at home minus 4 and keeping my favorites picks alive here. I'm still wishy-washy on that.
Yeah, so I want to look up what the Texans offensive line is ranked, because I believe they came into the season highly touted, but according to just some recent stats, and I don't know how accurate this is, but it looks like they're about middle of the pack, at about 15 in terms of their offensive line, which is very important because, you know, Singletary, he had a great game last week.
For sure.
Damien
ran the ball like 30 times.
A lot. Damien Pierce has been out for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I think Singletary will probably be the number one waiver wire pickup this week. Definitely for running backs, for sure.
You think he's on the waiver wire?
Not in any of the leagues that I'm in.
Yeah.
If he's out there, double check. I mean, he might be. Chances are he's not. But this last week he rushed for 30 attempts for 150 yards and a touchdown. But then in week 9, 26 yards for 13 rushing attempts. And that was without Damien Pierce. So you're seeing some volatility there. But how about Noah Brown? Second week in a row, getting over 20 fantasy points, wide receiver out of that Texans group.
Yeah.
Last week, 20, or the week 9, 24 fantasy points. Last week, 20 against the Bengals. And you have Tank Dell back there. You have the guy that Mike highly touted in Dalton Schultz.
Yes, sir. He's producing.
He is very much so producing. And then you have a guy in CJ Stroud, which, by the way, I'm personally thinking about starting him over Joe Burrow this week, believe it or not.
I mean, I don't mind that. To be honest, the matchup is calling for that.
I barely made the right decision because I did start Joe Burrow this last week over him.
Yeah.
And Joe Burrow beat him by like a point or so.
That was almost garbage time, to be quite honest.
It was. But CJ Stroud, man, and Kyler Murray, this is going to be a really good game. Kyler Murray, this is what I found kind of interesting last game. I don't know if you saw the tush push.
Which one?
For the Cardinals last week. So they pulled Kyler Murray on the 1 yard line.
Oh, yes.
And they put Clayton Toon in. And they said, you go get that. Why would we put a guy that just came off of a pretty...
He's also like 5'10".
Exactly.
And weighs $125
under those 350 pound linemen. Yeah, no thanks. No. I just thought that was funny.
He came back off of...
Exactly. But... Man, this is tough. I'm going to take the
I'm going to start writing it down because I know who you're picking, and it's fine.
Well, you think I'm going to pick the Texans.
I know who you're going to pick.
You think I'm going to pick the Texans.
I know who you're
going
to pick.
And you are totally right. I'm going with the Texans.
I know. And everything is pointing against the Texans. This is a trap game, 100%.
I'm starting Tank Dell, and I'm starting C.J. Stroud, and we're all in, baby.
I'm going to veer off of my favorites, and I'm going Cardinals plus four. I think they keep it within a field goal.
The Cardinals plus four, Mike says.
So then after I'm going to call that Cardinals plus four game, we're going to go move to the Titans at the Jaguars. Jaguars favored at home by 6.5, just under a touchdown. And I think that the way the Titans are playing,
Man, here's what's disappointing. Come on, Hopkins and Levis. Like, I thought this was a thing, man.
No, it's not.
It's not a thing.
It was a cute thing.
It was like a game.
One of those puff lump, like, stuffed animals.
And you know what? If you sold high, good for you. I didn't. I stayed, and I'm getting burned. That's okay. It's hard to trust Hopkins. Derrick Henry is going to produce, depending on game flow.
You're going to have to hold out for that Houston Texans game because that's the only team he really owns from here on out.
Exactly. So in this game, I'm going to take the Jaguars. I think they bounce back after that bad loss against the 49ers, and they're going to handle business in their division against the Titans. I think this is going to be a game that the Jags, they know the Titans very well.
Yeah, I agree.
Next up, Steelers at Browns. Browns favored by four.
By four.
And here's the thing. So the X factor is Deshaun Watson, because right now he's questionable.
Yeah.
However, whether or not he plays is irrelevant because he played in week two, and the Steelers beat the Browns. The Steelers beat the Browns 26-22. And oh, by the way, Deshaun Watson finished with 12 fantasy points, okay? So, Myles Garrett, I get it. He's good at football. But so is TJ Watt, and so is Alex Highsmith. And if Deshaun Watson does not play, you can carve that in stone. This is the Steelers game. I know Mike's probably going to take the Browns, but here's what I'm going to tell you is the Steelers are showing up, and the only reason I'm picking them here is because of that number four line, okay? The Browns being favored by four, and if you're giving the Steelers four, I think this defense is too good to lose by more than four in an in-division game. They could lose, but they're not going to lose by more than four.
So we disagree on who we're taking, but I would put a full paycheck that we would both take the under in this game. And I don't even know what it is.
It's 37.
I would take the under 100%.
Yeah, I mean, you would have lost that bet last time they played. 37 is pretty low. I mean, that is, I don't know.
Yeah, tease it up to about 42.
That is, I believe, the lowest over under for the week. So you know, it's low as it is. That you're implying that the Browns are going to get like 19 points and the Steelers are going to get like 15 points or something like that. I could see that happening. I could see that happening. So I don't know. Picking an over or under on such a low line as it is makes me nervous.
I would have to tease it up and pick the under. I don't feel comfortable. I still think it goes under.
Yeah. It could.
Just because those two teams.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just, you're right. Two great defenses, but I don't know, man. If I had to pick, I would pick the under. If I had to pick, I would pick the under. But picking the over-under on this game would make me definitely nervous. I'm still going to take the Steelers because of it being an in-division game. In years past, I would have told you that line would make me more nervous than what it does today, particularly because of the rise of our defense here recently. If our defense would not have risen to where it is right now, I'd tell you to take the Browns.
And final score, 20-13 in favor of the Browns. And moving on, we've got Chargers at Packers. Packers plus three.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Chargers in this. So you said the line is 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chargers so minus 3.
Changed from 3.5 this morning. I'm going to take the Chargers minus 3. The Packers are regressing, even though Jordan Love had a dime pass thrown to Jaden Reed, I think it was, against the Steelers. Don't quote me on that. No. But I think the Chargers are too good to not figure it out. You know, I think Austin Eckler needs to get more involved. Their issue is, who's next up after Keenan Allen? Because Keenan Allen's showing up. The defense is having some struggles right now. Okay, that's evident.
Yeah.
But who is the wide receiver too? Is it Quentin Johnson? I don't know. I mean, it's probably Eckler. Gerald Everett.
It's Eckler.
Or Eckler. Exactly. So
they don't have a consistent number two.
They don't. They don't.
I think, but Josh Palmer, I think, still injured.
Yeah.
And then Quentin Johnson, he had a couple good grabs.
Which, by the way, Quentin Johnson was supposed to be one of the top wide receivers coming out of the draft. Yeah. He was drafted higher than Jordan Addison, I believe. Yeah, I think so. But I'm still taking the Chargers.
And it's going to be a Packers plus 3. I think they either keep it within that field goal or honestly, if I could get that 3 plus 3, 3.5, I would definitely take it. But I think the Packers getting 3 points against the Chargers at home, I think that the Packers are finding a way to keep it there.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm starting Aaron Jones this week.
Oh, you are?
I am. And okay. I'm not like 100% satisfied with it, but I think I'm starting him over the likes of, I don't know.
Would you start him over a Pacheco who's going against Philadelphia's?
100%.
Okay. Really?
Yes. And I wouldn't think twice about it. I'd start him twice on Sundays.
What about over Pollard?
Over Tony Pollard? No, not at all. No. Tony Pollard is going to be a top 10.
What about, let's see.
If not, throw him in the trash.
Yeah. Yeah. You should throw him in the trash if he does not perform. I just don't think the Packers have enough weapons on offense to keep up. On paper, the Packers should not keep up, whether it's in Lambeau or not. But anyway.
Yeah. All right.
Bucks at 49ers.
Bucks at Niners. Niners favored by 11.5.
Did I hear a Niner in there?
I was talking on a walkie-talkie, Ed.
So, Mike Evans, man, I just got to say it again. Like, the guy is just having a great year. The Bucs beat the Titans last week, and
they
this
just beat them.
They stomped them.
they made them look silly.
This wasn't even Mike Evans' best game of the season, by the way.
Yeah,
with 143 yards and a touchdown, his best game of the season,
170-some, right?
In week two, and the X factor here is that Chase Young and Joey Bosa combo.
Yeah. Baker's been getting the ball out of his hand quick.
He has.
And he's actually been getting protected. And his movement in the pocket's been a whole lot better than the beginning of the year.
This offensive line is one of the best offensive lines in football right now out of Tampa Bay.
They just got their center back like 2 weeks ago.
And Rashad White is proving to be a reliable backfield option. Not only can he run between the tackles, but he can catch the ball too. So
if you have a chance to get him somehow, grab him too.
Yeah, that's a very good trade target.
Yeah.
The Niners minus what, 11?
11.5.
11.5. So that moved from 11 this morning, which means there's been a lot of people taking the Niners.
Yeah.
Man, that's a big line. 11.5.
It is. But I don't think it's that large. It's not like a Cowboys minus 16 line.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to take the Bucks in this.
Same. I agree. I think the Bucks keep it within, you know, two scores here. Probably, I can see it being like an 8-9 point game.
Yeah. So. Yep. Next up,
Giants at Commanders. Commanders favored by 9.5.
First of all, Brian Robinson, you need to stop killing my fantasy matchups, dude. Like, you get shot in the ass, you come back the next season, and you're just blowing it up. Good for you, and if you have Brian Robinson, you're loving life right now, I get it.
I traded him.
Yeah. I mean, he's proven to be a really good running back. And you said the line is what, minus 10?
Minus 9.5.
Oh, okay. So it rose from minus 10. So there's some Giants takers, looks like.
Yeah. I mean, against that Commanders defense, I mean, there isn't one. Just like the Giants. This is all going to be who can outpace who and who can hold on the ball more.
I think Sam Howell comes back to who he was before this last game. Sam Howell should show up against the Giants. And the Washington defense is probably 1-2 target because the Giants are giving the most fantasy points to defenses in the league right now. In Yahoo, the Commanders are projected for 8 fantasy points, and they're only rostered in 24% of leagues. So definitely someone to target. You know, chances are you're probably streaming defenses unless you have the Cowboys or someone that's producing like that. But I'm going to take the, you know what? I'm taking the Giants.
Dang, so am I.
I think the Giants keep it within 10.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't think that the Commanders play to kill.
Yeah.
They play to win, and that's about it. Riverboat Ron is not very, you know, aggressive
He's
in that manner.
He's too riverboaty.
He is a riverboaty.
Yeah.
But no, I'm taking Giants plus 9.5 as well.
Next up, Seahawks at Rams. The Rams are... The Rams looks like they're favored by, what, 1?
Rams actually are getting a point here. The Seahawks are favored by 1.
Oh, so that changed. The Rams were favored by 1.
Interesting.
Yeah,
interesting. Let me take a peek. Maybe it kept going up. Who knows?
So at one point, this is basically a pick'em game. Are you going to ride with Matt Stafford or are you going to ride with Geno? And if it's a 1-point differential, and if are the Rams getting a point? Is that confirmed?
Rams are getting a point.
Okay.
Seahawks are favored by 1 at the Rams.
Give me the Rams given a point. This is going to be the last week without Kyren Williams. And, you know, I don't know why that's relevant. But Cooper Kupp, I think, is going to have a good game against the Seahawks. I think he's going to probably return back to a wide receiver 1 caliber with Matt Stafford leading this offense. Over-under's at 45. It's fairly high over-under. I think it could go over that number. So, but yeah, I'm going to take the Rams.
I wrote down the Seahawks here for me, but I am so on a... you know what? I wrote it down. I'm going to stay with it.
Okay.
Jets at the Bills. Bills by 7, but before I hit that, again, Ken Walker secretly, quietly having a really good running back year.
Yeah, he has been, man. He has been underrated.
And I think Geno has enough weapons.
Here's the time.
I'm good with Seahawks minus 1 here.
Here's the time to start looking at running back handcuffs. And Charbonnet is someone to target in the waiver wire because this is where the rubber meets the road. The season starts to wear on these running backs. And, hey, you know what they say? It's cuffing season, baby. So you got to get that cuff in your bench just for safety purposes. But big shout-out to Joe Tittman. He is a Fort Wayne native and has moved into the starting center role for the Jets. He's, as a matter of fact, one of the highest rated rookie offensive linemen in the league so far. So big shout out to Joe Tippmann. I hope you're listening out there, man. You're doing a great job. Keep representing Fort Wayne. And maybe, just maybe, you'll get to snap the ball from Mr. Aaron Rodgers come December because, oh, by the way, he already said that. He spoke it into existence. Aaron Rodgers himself said
3 months.
Dude, that is outrageous.
I went through and tore my Achilles in 2 places. And yeah, it was August. And then by December, I was walking. But I wasn't playing.
Dude, he was
professional football.
He was walking like a month in.
It was like 5 weeks. 4 weeks. He was supposed to be in the boot for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
He was out in 4, And
the world went nuts when they saw him walking on. I mean, it just goes to show you whatever sweat hut he's doing is working.
And here's the thing. And he was right. And I going through my rehab on that. He cannot play football until he can rise up on his tiptoes.
Yeah.
And with that injury, it is so like it's in your head. It's scary. You're like, okay, if I rise up on my tiptoes
and it doesn't work,
it's going to snap.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh geez. And it takes time.
Yeah.
So I mean, if he's there, he's there. But man, dude, three and a half months to come back from an Achilles. I don't think his Achilles tore that much.
Hey, don't doubt. Yeah, exactly. So I mean,
there's different degrees. Exactly. I don't know, but there's no way it completely tore and he's okay like this. There's no way.
Yeah, we'll see. In this game, I'm going to have to take the Bills. I just think the Bills are too good of a team to lose two in a row, especially to the Broncos and then the Jets. I don't think that happens in Buffalo. I don't think it's going to happen. So
I'm taking the Jets plus +7. They already beat them in week 2, I think. And no, they beat them week 1. They had Aaron Rodgers for the first, like, 2 snaps.
Oh, right.
And then
that doesn't count.
On, I know, but they beat the Bills with a healthy Josh Allen and a backup quarterback at that time. He was not starter. He wasn't even starter. He's still not starting potential. Like, they beat the Bills, let alone keeping within a whole touchdown.
Yeah.
And then the way that Josh Allen's shoulder is, his inaccuracies, not getting digs the ball. They look.
I just don't trust Zach on Monday. Wilson.
I don't either. But he already did it. He already beat the Bills.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bills only because this is when games matter most. And if any team has the pedigree, it's the Bills.
Do they?
They do.
For what? What do they have the pedigree for?
Well, they have the pedigree to reach the Super Bowl. To reach. They have the ability based on the pieces on their team. Now, whether they can put those pieces together and make it happen is a different story. Right now, so far this year, they haven't showed up.
When's the last time the Bills were in the Super Bowl?
They were never in the Super Bowl.
Okay. Well, they were,
I think I'm using the wrong word.
Yeah.
Pedigree.
My issue. Like, when it's the game that they need to win, they don't.
No, they haven't. They haven't. But that's the reason why I think they're going to start clicking. That's just my opinion.
All right.
I think they're going to start clicking because if they don't, guess what? I don't see Stephon Diggs in Buffalo for very much longer. I don't.
He's the only thing they have.
Well, something has to change.
And they have Gabe Davis, you know, every 20%. I mean.
Next up, Vikings at Broncos. Looks like the Broncos might be favored by two. By two. Okay, it was 2.5 this morning. So
I would have hammered the crap out of it. Oh, man. I love the Vikings money line here. So you already know I'm at Vikings plus +2. I think.
Dude, I cannot not choose the Vikings.
You got Dobbs, dude.
You got to stay in with Dobbs. I mean, I just hope the guy succeeds. I really do. He continues to succeed. And he said it himself. He said, this league does not care what you did last week. You have one bad week, you're done. And, I mean, he didn't say those words verbatim. Yeah. He didn't say those words verbatim. I'm putting words in his mouth. But it was in a roundabout way, like the league and the fans don't care about last week. If you don't perform well, you're going to know and you're going to feel the impact very quickly. Josh Dobbs embraces the fact that success isn't owned, it's leased, and rent's due every day. He shows up, he's not a victim of his circumstances, and that's something that he said Mike T brought and showed him. It is ingrained in him. He's not a victim of his circumstances. So I think Vikings, man, watch out.
Yeah. So yeah, we're both going Vikings, and honestly, I am a happy Hockenson owner.
Oh, one of my leagues. I'm sure you are.
Man, dude. Dobbs loves his tight ends.
Yes, he does.
You're starting, and honestly, Whether it's Madison or well, Chandler, I don't know if I would start either of them against the Broncos right now. The Vikings aren't blocking. They're not doing much. And honestly, I think it's going to fall on Dobbs. Dobbs is probably going to be the primary running back.
Well,
unless something changes.
Madison's going to need a clear concussion protocol.
Yeah.
And the next man up is, what, Ty Chandler. And I don't know if you – I mean, the Denver Broncos give up the most points to the fantasy position. If you're pretty desperate in your flex, very possibly. I mean, Ty Chandler is rostered in 10% of leagues. He's owned in none of the leagues that I'm in. And last week against the Saints, who, by the way, have the third they are the third worst team to run against, meaning they have the third best defense against running backs, he still put up 10.5 fantasy points with a rushing touchdown off of 15K rushing attempts.
Yeah.
So I think you could fire a Ty Chandler up in a flex this week without a problem and feel comfortable if Madison doesn't play that he'll get you at least 10 fantasy points.
And DFS, if there's a big difference. No, listen, I'm going in a different route here.
Oh, I was going to say, I would start him in DFS.
In DFS, Ty Chandler is going to be cheap enough, but if you want to differentiate yourself from what's out there, fire up a Keen Wanyangwu, okay? Keen Wanyangwu is just, they do like this guy.
That was very nasally.
Keen Wanyangwu. Wangwu. Sorry, Keene. It's Wangwu. Fire up Keen Wanyangwu and
less nasal, more vocals.
No, the N is silent. It's Wangwu.
Okay. Anyway,
Keene Wanyangwu.
Wangwu.
Anyway, I've got a little keen suspicion about they like him. I think he has an opportunity if and only if Madison does not play. I can see Wangwu getting a touchdown.
Eagles at Chiefs Monday night. Chiefs are favored, looks like, by 2.5.
Yep, 2.5.
This is a tough game to predict. Two powerhouse offenses. You know, the Chiefs, I think, in prime time perform very well, as do the Eagles. But in this game, I'm just going to say, if Taylor Swift is in attendance, I don't know if she's in a concert around the world. I think she's
in the Eras Tour.
She is. Yeah. So, darn it. So if you have Travis Kelce, bench him, obviously. kidding. But
are you, though?
No, you're not benching Travis Kelce. No, you're not. But I'm going to go with the Chiefs, -2.5.
Are you?
Yes. Okay, I have Pacheco.
Eagles, I'm going Eagles +2.5.
Okay. I have Pacheco. I'm starting Pacheco. Obviously you're starting Mahomes. You're starting Travis Kelce. And then for me, that's about it. I might start
Pacheco?
Oh, I am, yeah.
You're starting Pacheco. How confident are you in starting Pacheco against the number one ranked rusher?
Well, it depends on if Achan plays, I'm starting Achan in my flex over Pacheco.
Okay.
But if Achan does not play, I'm probably going to start Pacheco.
So you think Pacheco's going to end top 20?
This week? Yeah, I do.
Top 15.
Yes, I do.
Not a chance he finished the top 15. Not at all.
I think he could, particularly because of his increased passing work game. But you got to understand, I'm going to be having to choose between some pretty tough matchups in general.
Yeah.
And I know the Eagles have the best run defense, but he can also catch the ball pretty well too. So I don't know. That's hard for me to predict.
So. Underdog matchups. Who do you like to pull out?
I'm going to say that the Titans will beat the Jags straight up. And depending on what you classify as an upset, I mean, you know, if you're talking money line, I see the Steelers beating the Browns, but that's not that big of an upset per se. My second one is going to be the Panthers beating the Cowboys straight up.
Saucy.
Spicy, baby.
That is crazy saucy, man.
I know.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So
obviously there's a 10% chance of that happening, but
less than that. But yeah,
but you talk about craziness. This is the time to inject some volatility
for sure. Well, two,
and I'm not betting on that, by the way.
Yeah. Jets, I think, could pull off the Bills again. I don't think that's too crazy, but they're 7-point underdogs and they've already beaten them this year. So, yeah. I mean, and the Bills have gotten worse, in my opinion,
yeah,
throughout the year. And the Jets, I feel like, have been consistent,
yeah,
in what they are.
Yeah.
They still suck, but their defense is solid.
Yep.
And then secondly, I think the Cardinals beating the Texans is very within the reason. I told you this is going to be a trap game, and I think the Cardinals.
Yeah, but that's not so much of an upset. I mean, that's a 4-point game.
That's a 4-point game.
Well, if we're going to say 4 points, I'm going to take the Steelers.
Well, you can. I'm not telling you can't. Anyway, so yeah, I think the Cardinals have every chance to beat the Texans, and I think now with Murray's second game back, I wouldn't see that as an issue. Plus, I can see James Conner starting to come on and rush a little bit better, be used more, and Marquise Brown be used more. And I would not be surprised to see a CJ Stroud falling out game, if you will.
I hope you're wrong. I hope you're wrong. But we will see. Hey, thanks for tuning into this week. Best luck in your fantasy matchups. Hit us up on our socials, Facebook, Twitter. Otherwise, good luck this week.
Have a good one, y'all.
Thank you for listening to Dad's Talk Fantasy Podcast.